And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. We're going to get right back into announcements about actions that gone on. People from across the country joined more than 50 organizations and businesses a week ago Tuesday to celebrate and inaugurate the Century of River Restoration at the Carl Hayden Visitor Center at the Glen Canyon Dam in Arizona, led by longtime Colorado advocate and environmental leader David Brower. The event was highlighted by a signing ceremony of the Glen Canyon Declaration, calling for restoration of the Colorado River and Glen Canyon. Brower, who has led the fight to save Glen Canyon for 40 years after signing it away, addressed the festive crowd with his concerns about dam safety, water evaporation, seepage, and sustainable economics. He described Glen Canyon as a rich and beautiful landscape that should have become a national park as early as the Franklin D. Roosevelt administration. Brower was joined by Thomas Morris, president of the Dene Medicine Men's Association, whose organization unanimously voted to drain Lake Powell on Saturday, March 11th, and who gave the invocation at the river rendezvous and celebration. Morris said, "Lake Powell Reservoir has submerged our sacred sites and destroyed our ability to communicate with the sacred gods. These sites must be restored for our children and grandchildren." Yvonne Chouinard, owner of Patagonia, the world's leading manufacturer of quality outdoor clothing and climbing gear, stated in a letter read at the celebration, "The destruction of Glen Canyon Dam, more than any other dam in the United States, represents the most blatant disrespect for the planet's sacred landscape, all for a facility we know was not needed." And both the oil industry and the government of Alberta and Canada appear to be on trial at the Wibo-Ludwig court hearings in Alberta. Ludwig and some 40 members of the 128-hectare Trickle Creek Farm, located 400 kilometers northwest of Edmonton, are being exposed to accidental sour gas releases and substantial pollution of their air and water from nearby oil and gas facilities. Ludwig wrote letters, made appeals, appeared before tribunals to plea for the oil industry and governments to take action to reduce or eliminate the pollution affecting his family and farm animals. Nothing, no response. The pollution continued. Now Ludwig and another family member, Richard Boonstra, are on trial for allegations of damaging the very oil and gas facilities that were damaging the environment. Ironically, instead of the information focusing on Ludwig and Boonstra, the real entities on trial, by way of the information that has come out, are the oil and gas industry and the governments charged with trying to damage polluting oil and gas sites. Wibo Ludwig and his friend Richard Boonstra were thought to have set off a bomb at the Alberta Energy Company processing site in the area of Wibo's Trickle Creek Farm, October 14, 1998. But they didn't do it. Breaking their laws, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Alberta Energy Company organized the planting and detonation of the bomb. I wonder if that's ever happened before. Maybe in Oakland? The National Post issued an editorial February 10, 1999, condemning the action, stating that Alberta Energy Company's involvement in blowing up one of its own well sites as part of an RCMP sting operation represents a fascinating example of a genuine corporate moral dilemma. In another article in the National Post, the paper reported that at least one Calgary law professor suggested that both the police and the Alberta Energy Company be charged with conducting dirty tricks. And we want to thank the Gallon Environmental Letter, based in Montreal, Quebec, for this information. You can contact them at cibe@web.net. That's cibe@web.net. And salmon comments are due March 31st. You can make a difference for Pacific Northwest salmon in less than 30 seconds. Go to Save Our Wild Salmon's website, www.salmonforever.org. Once again, that's www.salmonforever.org. It's easy to send a free pre-written email comment for the record, but the deadline is March 31st, so do it today. Four dams on Washington's Lower Snake River must be removed to save this legendary fish. Also due by March 30th, the comments on a federal study of southern forest sustainability. The U.S. Forest Service, EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have initiated an unprecedented study on forest sustainability in response to growing public concern about the proliferation of chip mills and the expansion of industrial forestry in the South. The two-year study will conclude in July of 2001. There are major concerns about the content of the study, which is why more comments are needed, and they're due by March 30th. For more information, contact Dana at the Dogwood Alliance. The email address, lorax@sitcom.net. That's lorax@sitcom.net. And in a meeting with representatives from the Oregon Natural Resources Council, Cascadia Forest Alliance, the Portland Chapter of the Sierra Club, and American Lands Alliance, newly assigned Region 6 Forester Harv Forsgren stated unequivocally that the buck stops here. Harv's statement came after activists expressed to him their disappointment with the U.S. Forest Service's inability to take responsibility for the fate of Eagle Creek timber sales. Harv assured us he would make a decision on whether to cancel or delay the controversial timber sale by the end of March. Calls and faxes are needed today and every day until the end of the month and until a decision is made. Your calls and faxes to the numbers listed below are critical to ending a five-year battle to save Eagle Creek. Man. Anyway, let me give you... Now is the time to let Regional Forester know how you feel. All you have to do is say... Save Eagle Creek. Here's Harv Forsgren's phone number. He's the U.S. Forest Service Regional Ranger, I guess. Harv Forsgren, 503-808-2201. That's 503-808-2201. How about a fax number? 503-808-2210. That's 503-808-2210. Or you can try calling extension 2636. That's extension 2636, same number. Or the other fax number is 2229. Once again, those numbers 503-808-2201 or 2636 or fax numbers 2210 or 2229. If you'd like more information, contact Erin at the ONRC Grassroots Coordinator. Her number, I believe that's her, at 503-283-6343. Lots of threes. 503-283-6343. Extension 224. Or email address EM. That's EM at ONRC.org. And the 38,000-acre Soda Mountain proposed wilderness needs your help. It's one of the most unique areas in California and Oregon, straddling the state line. This potential new wilderness is a fascinating region where the Cascades, Siskiyous, and Great Basins come together. This ecological transition zone is home to dozens of sensitive plants and animals, including the northern spotted owl, the mountain lady slipper, Green's Mariposa lily, red-band trout, bald eagle, dwarf klamath, small-scale sucker, Fisher Martin, and others. The California portion of the area is locally known as the Horseshoe Ranch. The Horseshoe Ranch is managed to protect and restore critical winter habitat for deer. Grazing is banned, as is off-road vehicle use and other destructive activities. The Bureau of Land Management has long planned to purchase this ecologically important private land from willing sellers. But apparently, anti-environmentalists have convinced the BLM not to purchase any more federal land in the area. They need to hear from you by March 31st. Write to Eileen Emery, BLM, Reading Field Office, 355 Hempstead Road, Reading, California, 96002. Once again, that's Eileen Emery, E-M-R-Y. She's with the BLM, Reading Field Office, 355 Hempstead Road, H-E-M-S-T-E-D, Hempstead Drive, Reading, California, 96002. I believe she has a fax number here, 503-224-2172. That's 530. I'm sorry, I've got those Oregon zip codes on my brain. 530-224-2172. Request that the BLM expand its current acquisition plans in order to protect even more critical deer winter habitat from development, overgrazing, off-road vehicle use, road construction, and other forms of destruction. And if you'd like more information on this issue, contact Ryan Henson of the California Wilderness Coalition. His number, 530-474-4808. That's 530-474-4808. Or email to Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at calwild.org. And prevent recreational development in the McDonald Peak roadless area. Your help is critical to stop the destruction of 500 acres of ancient Shasta red fir forest in one of the most important wildlife migration corridors of the Cascades and the Coast Range. Comments on the Ski Ashland Expansion Draft EIS are due April 3rd. The draft environmental impact statement does not present an adequate range of alternatives. The two action alternatives both would expand the ski area into the Wet Meadow area, which overlaps the inventoried McDonald Peak roadless area. The roadless area is eligible for increased protection under the new rulemaking process initiated by President Clinton. Clear cuts and recreational development present unacceptable environmental impacts in the roadless area, and the expansion plan would degrade riparian areas in violation of the aquatic conservation strategy of the Northwest Forest Plan. Please send your comments before April 3rd to Thomas Reilly, R-E-I-L-L-Y, Deputy Forest Supervisor, Rogue River National Forest, 333 West 8th Street, Medford, Oregon, 97501. Once again, that address, Thomas Reilly, Deputy Forest Supervisor of the Rogue River National Forest, 333 West 8th Street, Medford, Oregon, 97501. Or you can send email to sjohnson_r6pnw/rogueriver@fs.fed.us. Once again, that email address for comments on the Ski Ashland Expansion Draft EIS before April 3rd. The email address is sjohnson_r6pnw/rogueriver, R-O-G-U-E-R-I-V-E-R, at fs.fed.us. Well, let's move to news. We haven't dug into the news folder in a while here. Court upholds ban on roadless areas. This is a snowmobile ban on roadless areas in Montana. A U.S. District Court ruled recently that enforcement of a previously unenforced ban on snowmobiles in Montana does not constitute a new plan subject to new public process. In its 1986 forest plan, the Lolo National Forest instituted a ban on snowmobile use in 400,000 acres of backcountry forest lands. The ban remained unenforced, however, and until December 1998, when the Lolo Forest Supervisor issued a letter prohibiting motorized access to the area. The Montana Snowmobile Association then sued to overturn the ban, claiming the supervisor was implementing a new rule without public involvement. The court dismissed the challenge, ruling that if snowmobilers wanted to challenge the ban, they needed to do so when the forest plan was adopted, not 13 years later. The decision means that no amount of illegal motorized use can undo a lawful decision to close the area to ORVs, said Jack Tuhalski of the Montana Wilderness Association, which intervened in the case. For more information, you can contact the Montana Wilderness Association at 406-443-7350. That's 406-443-7350. And very good news to report from the National Parks Conservation Association. The in-holding issue at Lake Chelan National Recreation, part of the North Cascades National Park in northeastern Washington, has been resolved. Originally, a developer was going to build 13 condominiums on a steep hillside overlooking the sparkling Lake Chelan. The National Park Service tried to stop the development through a land swap, which would have surrendered parcels of park property initially. The National Parks Conservation Association expressed their dismay at the sacrifices that the National Park Service was about to make of important lands. In response, the NPS took two of the most troubling parcels out of the deal, but the land swap was still in the offing. Last May, the developer dropped his demand for the land swap, but the challenge then became finding funding to pursue an outright purchase of the property. The National Land Conservation Group, the Conservation Fund, stepped in and offered to serve as intermediary. And on February 17th, the fund announced that a deal had been reached with the landowner. He will sell the 25-acre hillside parcel and will be allowed to keep his property on the lakefront and a small slice of upland land for a septic treatment area, should he decide to build a home there. After 7 years of battling this controversial proposal, conservationists are celebrating the permanent preservation of some very... And on March 3rd, 2000, the Regional Office of the Forest Service denied the Siskiyou Project and others their administrative appeal of the Nicor Mine decision. The appeal filed by property owners in the Rough and Ready Creek area was also denied. The Forest Service has yet to rule on Nicor's appeal of the Forest Service's requirement that Nicor must first do a 5,000-ton bulk test before the agency will approve any full-scale mining. Activists are still working to defeat the proposed nickel laterite mine and to get the area and adjacent botanically important lands withdrawn from mineral entry and permanently protected. Though NICOR proposes to mine approximately 6 claims in the Rough and Ready Creek watershed, a rough analysis by the Siskiyou Project estimates that NICOR's owner, Walter Freeman, controls approximately 196 mining claims in the general vicinity. Exact acreage figures are not yet available, but the area covered by the Freeman mining claims may be more than 8,250 acres. Please write to Michael Dombeck, chief of the Forest Service, and ask him to recommend a 150,000-acre-plus mineral withdrawal for the rough and ready area of the South Kalmiopsis, and to support permanent protection, such as a national monument designation for this very special landscape. The address of the chief is Mike Dombeck, chief of the Forest Service, United States Department of Agriculture Forest Service, 201 14th Street and Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20024. And please do that as soon as possible. Once again, the address for comments, Mike Dombeck, D-O-M-B-E-C-K, Chief of the Forest Service, USDA Forest Service, 201 14th Street and Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20024. And in a story by Gordon Hamilton of the Vancouver Sun, entitled German Company Ready to Cancel BC Contract, Canadian Forest Companies stand to lose $600 million in annual sales from Germany alone unless those companies operating on the BC coast reach an accord with environmental groups, Germany's two major paper trade associations said last week. Environmental campaigns have damaged German companies buying from British Columbia, the association said, and a representative from one German company, the Handel Group, said his firm is ready to cancel $75 million in contracts rather than lose its own paper and magazine clients. Our clients told us very clearly if we cannot solve the problems there regarding fiber management, then we will lose our contracts, Wolfgang Obersel, spokesman for the Handel Group, Germany's biggest paper producer, said in a telephone interview. We have contracts with British Columbian companies worth 100 million Deutschmarks. That's about $75 million. The Germans, feeling the impact of 5 years of environmental campaigning against British Columbia products that they buy, waded into the controversy that erupted in BC last week with the revelation that BC forest companies are negotiating a deal with environmentalists to end the conflict on the north and central coasts of British Columbia. That deal would impose an 18-month logging standstill on the coast, while a long-term solution is found to the ecological, social, and economic issues arising from the drastically scaled-back log harvest. The word of the negotiations has raised alarm in coastal communities where jobs could be affected, and the provincial government, which controls the forests and sets the harvesting levels, has been caught in a political vacuum, unable to decide over the potential damage of losing markets on one hand and cutting back on the harvest and jobs to appease those markets. The German paper company said they support the initiative. The depth of German dissatisfaction with BC forest products and the financial clout they hold over BC companies reveals just how high the stakes are in those secret negotiations that are still ongoing to solve the conflict in the north and central coast once and for all. The Germans are only one international customer, said Linda Crody, a Weyerhaeuser vice president who is chairing the committee of 6 companies now meeting with leading environmental organizations. U.S. retail giant Home Depot has also warned companies it is phasing out products from forests targeted by environmentalists. And the National Park Service has announced new rules intended to reduce the impact of personal watercraft use in the national park system. Still, some environmentalists say the regulations do not go far enough to protect waterways from pollution and damage caused by jet skis and other watercraft. The final rule prohibits the use of personal watercraft, that's PWCs, in national park areas except where the Park Service determines that this type of water-based recreational activity is appropriate for a specific park. Such decisions would be based on the legislation creating that park and recreational area, the area's resources and values, and other visitor uses and overall management objectives, the usual National Park Service bubble doublespeak. PWCs are small vessels, usually less than 16 feet long, which use an inboard motor powering a water jet pump as the primary source of power. They are operated by persons sitting, standing, or kneeling on the vessel. Designed for speed and maneuverability, PWC use has been controversial in many places throughout the country. jet skis are so polluting that the exhaust emissions from 2 hours of PWC operation is equivalent to the emissions from a 1998 passenger car operated for more than 100,000 miles. According to studies cited by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, two-stroke engines like those used in PWCs discharge at least 25% to 30% of their fuel, unburned, directly into the water. Conservation groups Blue Water Network and National Parks Conservation Association say the new rules will allow PWCs to continue in most areas where they are now permitted. The groups believe that the National Park Service has failed to live up to its responsibility to protect park resources and the rights of other visitors from the damage and disturbance that is caused by personal watercraft, the group said in a joint release. The Park Service has admitted that jet skis pollute the air, water, harass wildlife, interfere with other visitors, yet they still propose to allow most use to continue unregulated, said NPCA President Tom Kiernan. NPCA and the Blue Water Network are planning legal action to protect the parks, he said. A number of areas will now close to personal watercraft use as a result of the new rule. These include 6 national parks: Biscayne, Florida; Isle Royale, Michigan; Glacier in Montana; Olympic in Washington; Grand Canyon in Arizona; and Canyonlands in Utah. The closure list also includes 2 national seashores, that's in Cape Canaveral, Florida, and Cape Hatteras, North Carolina; 2 national lake shores, the Apostle Islands in Wisconsin and Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan; the Golden Gate National Recreation Area in California; and the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Oh boy. Environmentalists say PWC use is never appropriate within national park system areas. The National Park Service knows quite well that jet skis threaten public safety, shatter natural quietness, and destroy visitor enjoyment, said Dr. Russell Long, director of the Blue Water Network. What's surprising is that the agency charged with protecting our national heritage is ignoring this damage and will condemn nearly 2 dozen parks to a continued onslaught of jet ski destruction. The National Parks Conservation Association and the Blue Water Network believe that personal watercraft should not be used at all in the national park system because of their fundamental design and purpose is for aggressive high-speed excitement, which has nothing to do with the appreciation of park resources. We are confident the court will agree that these thrill craft violate the underlying principles of our national parks, the two groups said. And that's about all the time we have for news today on Earth First Radio. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F at cruzio.com. Or you can send letters to Earth First Radio. We're at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, our address, Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Uncle Dennis reminds you, please be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance so I can get them on the air in a timely manner. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement or what's going on around the world, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Once again, the address for the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You can listen to Earth First Radio on your computer or on the World Wide Web. We're at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio, followed by the number 4, followed by all.net. That's www.radioforall.net. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need to play the MP3 files is free and available on the website. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Ask your local station to broadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, and portions of this newscast were prepared with the help of Eon Blues. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off of the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And we're going to head on out of here with some music from Casey Neal. This one's entitled Dancing on the Ruins.
We're dancing on the ruins, multinational corporations dancing on on the ruins of multinational corporations. Dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Say goodbye to plastic and goodbye to cars. No more convenience stores. Hello to stars. No more Wall Street and no more Pentagon. Thinking about these things makes me happy. Coming for you.